Thanks, man. Oh, good morning. Have a seat. Nothing like putting a little pressure on me, Pastor John. People say, well, you know, I wish somebody introduced me like that. Yeah, you probably don't. Then you really got to do good, you know, so pray for me that I do well. It is so great to be with you. This is home for me. You know, we grew up, lived in the Rankin Projects in Hawkins Village, off and on growing up, and lived up on Comrie Avenue in Braddock, and down on Fleet Street in Rankin, and so this is my home territory. And this church, I've just got a strong heart, especially for Bridge City Church North Braddock. It's just an honor to be here. We paid $2,970 for this building. $2,970, that's what we paid for. That was the closing cost. The school district gave us the building because there was some legal battles about how it could be used, and they did an end around and just gave it to us. God was at work, hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, amen. So, of course, it needed a little bit of work, huh, Carl? Yeah, Carl and Katie are sitting there, they're twitching when I'm, you know what I mean? And Pete, and I mean, so many other people here. I mean, it was bombed out, it was blown up, but it was, you talk about good bones, you know, this thing will be here after you and I are gone. But anyway, Pastor John mentioned about NRP, that's a network-related pastors. Your church is a part of that. We're about 55 churches spread across the country, just connected from relationship from Texas and Minnesota, Missouri, Pennsylvania, New York, and North Carolina, and Florida, and Alabama, and all those places. Just pods of churches that we've been connected with or helped start over the years. And we do a lot of great stuff together. Several of you asked me about Ukraine this morning. You know, we've been targeting Ukraine for the last 3 years since the war started. And in the last 30 months, listen to this, we've planted 22 new churches in a war zone. Hallelujah. It's utterly amazing for me watching these Ukrainian believers. I mean, every time I go, I just follow them around. You know, they think I'm there to minister to them. It's the other way around. I've learned so much from these people about their intensity and their just belief in that the gospel is the answer for all this, you know. So it's been wonderful. But this church has been very generous financially to help do that. And what's great about NRP missions, we don't have any overhead. Nobody gets paid. Nobody gets a salary. There's no administrative fee. Every dollar we take goes right to the field. And it's amazing what we've been able to do. So just fun to be with you. And Pastor John, you know, you know, I tell them all the time, you know, you're one of my favorite preachers. I don't say that to everybody. But if you come here on Sunday, you're well fed. Amen. And if you don't come every Sunday, you really should. All right? Like, if you just like bobbing in and out, you're missing. You know, you don't eat whenever you get there. You eat like because there's food, right? Like me, when someone says, do you want to eat? It doesn't matter if I just ate. And then some of you are looking like, I don't know what you're talking about. Don't give me that look. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You just ate and you walk in and somebody goes, oh, sure, I'll have a bite of that. Yeah, and a bite to me is a bowl. You know what I mean? But, I mean, take advantage of what's being served here, okay? Amen. My wife sends her greetings. She could not be with me this morning. She knew I was going to be home this weekend, and because I travel a lot, you know, I'm out of state a lot. And so she left the house before I did this morning to go to our church's early service. And I was trying to quiz her. She said, I got a bunch, you know, I got committed to, had to do some things today. I got to meet with some people. She's got more people she meets with, you know. And then I was quizzing her a little bit, you know, like, because I was like, you know, I've been married 47 years, so I pick up on things. Every once in a while, you know, every once in a while. And I was like, and then finally I realized there was some shopping involved today. So pray for me. Come on. Amen. When you got 18 grandkids, shopping is like a big deal, okay? So I need a good offering today, Brother John. Okay, please. Just... Yeah. Hallelujah. All right. Okay, good. Amen. People say, what do you fear in life? Christmas. basically Christmas. Outside of that, I don't think I really have any fears, you know? Amen. Well, let's go to the Word. Here's the title of the message. We have a King. We were worshiping that song today. There's nobody else like him. That was like, okay, that's my message. If you don't understand anything I say, go back and listen to that worship song, okay? But I'm going to read three sequential verses from Luke 10, 11, and 12, just to give you a taste of where I'm going, and then we're going to launch off from there. So let's go to Luke 10. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in an appointed order in his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Okay, that's Luke 1. There was a second one she sent because there was a mistake on that. So that's Luke 1, 8, 9. Give me Luke 10. Can you go to Luke 10, 8, and 9? While you're doing that, let's go to Luke 11, 2. And he said to them, when you pray, say. Now, this is Jesus telling us how to pray, right? How many people think Jesus knows what he's talking about, right? If you don't, you're wrong, okay? Father, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come. Okay, let's go to Luke 12 for a second. Let's go to Luke 12, verse 31. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be provided to you. Have you ever heard that verse before? Seek what? Seek not your needs. I want you to think about this. He's not telling you to seek your needs. He's saying seek the kingdom, and these things will be provided to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, because your Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. So all these verses have one thing in common that they're talking about. They're talking about the kingdom of God. So let me ask you a question, not a trick question. What is the most essential thing you have to have in a kingdom? A king! Hallelujah! To have a kingdom, you have to have a king. And the reason why so many movements of men fail, and when they try to build their own kingdoms, is they are simply not kings. They're not qualified to build a kingdom. Jesus is qualified to build the kingdom. And it's essential. He's not a president. He's not a senator. He's not a prime minister. He's a king. He's only a king. He can be nothing less than a king. Our vote doesn't matter. Our opinion doesn't matter. Our idea doesn't matter. He is king. You say, Pastor Keith, you telling me that my opinion doesn't matter to you? Well, if your opinion matches mine, it matters to me. But in reality, when you serve a king, your opinion really doesn't count. Look at somebody. Say, your opinion doesn't count. We're big on opinions. You know, the world is big on opinions. The media will sometimes come to me and ask my opinion, especially like on pro-life things and now some of the sexual, you know, stuff. And they'll say, well, what's your opinion? I've learned to say, I don't have an opinion. But I know somebody who does, and he's right. Here's what God says. Because what I say can be misinterpreted. But here's what God says. And I just hide behind the word. I hide behind my king. Amen? Because I serve him. I serve at his pleasure. And I think a lot of times we've really complicated the gospel and we've nuanced it into layers where we've become the center of what God is doing rather than allowing God to use us in what he's doing. Wow. He didn't say seek things. He said seek the kingdom. Yep. Seek God's kingdom. Seek, what does that mean? Seek his rule and domain. What does God have to say about my life? What does God have to say about my money? What does God have to say about my sexuality? What does God have to say about my relationships? What does God have to say about my vocation? What does God have to say about my family? What does God have to say about my time? That's seeking the kingdom. We have a king. We have a king. Listen, there's most kings, I guess all kings, you could say this, right? All kings were born, right? They were born a baby. But Jesus was the only king. Listen to me.
who was a king and then became a baby. He's the only one. He'll ever only be the one. He was a king. He left the throne of heaven and clothed himself in flesh so that we could identify with him, so that we could never say to him, God, you don't know what it's like. He says, literally from his flesh, he can say that. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like we were. I want you to think about that. I want you to think of the cost of this king that left heaven clothed in flesh. I love Hebrews 10. It's my favorite Christmas verse where he says, a body thou hast clothed me in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. That's a king. See, we're not serving a king who became we're not serving a savior who became a king. We're serving a king who became a savior. Think about that. We're not serving a father and a friend who became a king. We're serving a king who became a father and a friend. That's the king. That's the king. He's a benevolent king. Hallelujah. But please be assured, he is absolutely king. Now let's look at a couple verses that just reference his kingship, because it's very strong, obviously, throughout the scripture. And I think sometimes we just need to see the majesty of it. Let's go to Revelation 19. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written. Now that's some ink. Hello? That's some ink, my friend. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written. And what is that name? When we see him, there's going to be no confusion about who he is. Okay, he came as a babe the first time, but he's not coming as a babe the second time. Are you with me? He's coming to collect his kingdom. He's coming to work with his subjects. And on it was written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Oh, there's some earthly kings and there's some earthly lords, but he's king of those kings and he's lord of those lords as well. Are you with me? Yes. Yes. Do you understand? This is so important. There is none, we sang, comparable. Amen. You know why that is? Because there are none that are comparable. I like what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:17. Look at this. Now to the King eternal. Now see, we throw words around. But words have meanings. Eternal, without beginning, without end. See, God created the beginning. He stepped out of eternity and said, I'm going to start human history from this date. The verse on the wall here says, teach us to number our days that we might apply ourselves to wisdom. When this school was built as a public school, that was part of it. That was part, the church didn't put that on there. That was on there when we bought the building. Teach us to number our days that we might apply our heart to wisdom. Why? Because our days are limited, but his days are not. He's the Ancient of Days. Hallelujah. Now to the King eternal. See, the only way in my mind to really comprehend how good people can suffer in this life and bad things can happen to Christians, the only way I can understand that based on God's character is that our life is like a vapor because the body says, because the Bible says it is. It's like if it was raining today and you got out of the car right near the overhang and you ran in and got a drop or two on you. That's life. And so when you're going through those hard times, and I've had a few in my day, you see that in light of eternity.
Wow.
See, if you've got an earthly perspective, you're, oh, woe is me. If you've got a kingdom perspective, you say, oh, how great he is.
Come on. Come on.
Hallelujah. To the King eternal, listen to this. Listen to these words. Immortal. They did try to kill him. Actually, he laid his life down because Pilate couldn't have touched him.
Only a king can do that. Invisible. Invisible. What does that mean, invisible? I mean, we see things. We see reflections. What it means is not able to be contained by the human eye. We only see in part, the Bible says. Amen? But when we see that king with King of Kings on his robe and on his thigh, we'll have seen then. It won't be invisible then, let me just tell you. Hallelujah. We've got a glimpse. I mean, sometimes, like even in worship this morning, just that glimpse. Hallelujah. Load my water pistol. I'm going to charge hell. Are you with me? Eternal, immortal, invisible. And let's just be clear here. I love these. To the only God be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And guess who the amen? He is the amen. That's the king. We have a king. Do you hear me? We have a king, church. I want to put up a part of a letter I wrote to all the NRP pastors on election day. Put that letter up. Okay, so I went out to vote. I wasn't cool enough to do the early voting thing. You know, I wasn't into that yet, you know, and so I got in line to go vote. And you could feel the tension in people because everybody's so concerned. And I, you know, well, I mean, not to underplay it, but we got a lot to be concerned about in our country right now, right? We're in a delicate spot, and I get it. And there are very different and passionate views, and I get that, okay? So I wrote this letter to the pastors, literally on Election Day morning. I said, I was praying before I went to vote today, and I was very impressed to encourage you in the ministry of hope. I doubt if we will know the winner of this election, at least for several days. As it turned out, we did, but I didn't know that because I'm not a king. No matter who wins, I want to urge you to not fail or fall into the political quagmire of no hope if Harris wins or of misplaced hope because Trump wins. Keep word with me. Our hope is in Christ. That is not a passivist position. Well, you know, I'm just... No, see, that's not passivity. When I say that, that's aggression. That's pure aggression, actually. When I say my hope is in Christ, that's active. Are you hearing me? That's not like, well, I just kind of hope something will happen. No, I'm into what God is already doing. That's seeking first the kingdom. Our hope is in Christ. This is not passivist position. That is one that requires foresight, action, faith, and confidence. No matter who wins, listen to me, our job as a local church does not change. Do you realize that? Next time you hear a press conference that drives you crazy, you say, "Now, what are they doing now?" Our job doesn't change. They might make it harder for us, but the job doesn't change. They seem to be very good at that these days, making it harder for us. What we may face will certainly change, but the objective will not change. Our mission to glorify God, to win souls, and make disciples is clearly before us. The very fact that we are in this unbelievable political tension that mocks God and defies common sense and morality is evidence that there are not enough biblical thinking people that can make sound voting decisions. Talking about the whole panorama of everything that gets us to this place. Go to the next slide. That's our job to fix no matter who wins. Let's take this opportunity to make a fresh run at defining our mission. See, one of the graces is when you have a kingdom mentality, when you face obstacles, your belief system kicks in and you see them as opportunities. Like in Ukraine right now, we have 22 churches, I believe. In 20 of those plants, that city has never had a Christian church before. That's an opportunity. Somebody with faith is seeing an opportunity. And you talk about being in a political quagmire. Hello? If they can do that, why can't we do that? Why are we going to blame it on them who are not kings to us who are serving a king? Amen? So let's make a fresh opportunity.
to run at defining our mission. Let's resolve to preach like Jesus is King and Lord, and let's focus our calling to bring heaven to earth. Hallelujah. So when Pastor John asked me to preach, I thought, well, I ought to preach what I told other people they ought to preach. That's why I'm preaching this. Jesus is King. I don't need another king. Do you understand me? My hope is not in who's in office. I'm not disconnected from that. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to try to influence people. I'm going to try to think biblically. Are you with me? I'm not a pacifist. I'm not disconnected. Are you with me? And neither should we be. We should be a voice. We should be a prophetic voice in the political system and every other system. But at the end of the day, my hope is in a king. You know, you got a medical need and you go to a doctor, that's great. But I hope at the end of the day, your faith is in something greater than that doctor. Are you with me? Tomorrow morning or this afternoon when you check into work, God blesses work, but I'm telling you, at the end of the day, God is my provider. Do you understand me? He said, if I seek him, he'll take care of the things. I believe God knows what a thing is. How about you? You know, God, that thing? He goes, yeah, I know that thing. I got it. Because he's king. Because he's king. Because he's king. He can't be anything less than king. I hear people say, well, I made Jesus Lord of my life. Give me a break. You couldn't do that with a gun stuck to your head. You can't make Jesus Lord. He's been Lord. He'll always be Lord. And you can't change anything about it. You submitted to his lordship. That's what you did. He is king. He is Lord. He can never be anything less than that. And to the degree that we submit to that understanding is a degree that we bear fruit that pleases God and our lives take on a dimension that's greater than the American dream. The American dream, quite frankly, is way too small for us. Thank you, Brother John. Our American dream, Jesus gave us the dream, Matthew 28, go and disciple some nations. Don't win a few souls. Go make disciples of nations. Go tell them, go tell that king who your king is. I come in the name of the king. You know, the first time they tried, when Herod tried to murder Jesus, why did he try to murder him? Because he heard there was another king that was coming. And when you represent the kingdom, people with false gods and false ideologies will rise up against you. You know, sometimes I lack a little bit of discernment, but I have some observation. And when I see people rise up against truth, I just realize, okay, wait a minute. They've declared they are against my king. Hello? It's a very spiritual thing. And I'm not going to back down from talking about that. You know, part of the history of this church, I don't know if you know this or not, but we were the first church in America to be sued with a racketeering lawsuit. We were accused of being Christian mafia. Did you know that? It's called RICO. I got a call when I was the pastor. I got a call Saturday night, Pittsburgh Press. Reverend Tusi, yes. What do you think about the RICO suit? I said, I don't know about RICO. Doesn't he play shortstop for the Red Sox? I mean, who's RICO? Racketeering and influence corrupt organizations. It's a mafia statute. And they were trying to stop our pro-life activities in Pittsburgh. They were trying to shut us down because we were hurting their business. Hallelujah. And they said our motivation was to deprive them of economic gain, and therefore we were racketeers. This is true. It was a big deal. I mean, it was a federal lawsuit. They had people in all our services taking notes. They bought all my sermons, hallelujah. Oh, listen, they had every sermon, they had every newsletter. I mean, they were coming to church, hallelujah. So we're in the deposition. You know, that's where they, in a civil matter, they get all the lawyers around the table and they start grilling you. They start doing discovery, deposition. And you know what was great? The Pittsburgh legal community rose to the challenge. Man, we walked in there. I mean, I had people I'd never even met before. They just said, this is outrageous what they're doing to you. Thank God for godly Christian lawyers. Hallelujah. Amen.
everybody in that system. And they'd ask me questions like, Reverend Doozy? They'd say it just like that. I've never used REV in front of my name in my whole life. Are you with me? Do you get it? Pastor, yeah. People sometimes would say to me, by the way, they'd say, well, you know, come to church and say, well, what do I call you? I said, well, call me whatever I am to you. If I'm your pastor, you can call me your pastor. But if I'm not, you don't have to. My name's Keith. I know what my name is. But I'm going to warn you, Bruce, if you call me pastor, I'm going to act like one. Hello? And my job is to equip you for the work of the ministry, not to pacify you to sit in a seat. So they'd ask me questions. Isn't it true, Reverend Tusi, that you said, cursed is the man that takes a bribe on the behalf of the innocent? I said, I didn't say that. And they would go on. They had all my quotes. It was great. At the end of it, and then they'd take a tape out and they'd set it on the table as if to intimidate me. They'd take a newsletter. They were just smirking. They were just so excited. They caught me in a lie, pretending like I denied something. And I said, see, you guys are very confused. I didn't say any of those things. God said those things. You need to, yeah. I said, I'm just the messenger boy. That's exactly what I told him. I said, why don't you sue God? See how that works for you. The suit got dismissed. Hallelujah. Got dismissed. But Archer, this church, we became famous across America. I mean, I got invitations to go to speak to all these places because this is the guy's church got sued by Planned Parenthood. Hallelujah. People say, how'd you get a national pro-life ministry? I said, well, because Planned Parenthood sued me. God used them. It's true. That's how it happened. They'd have never heard of us. I've had two cases go to Supreme Court. We won them both. Hallelujah. Free speech cases. Both cases went to Supreme Court. All the way up. Not that case, two other. All the way up. I've been in front of Congress. I've been to the United Nations to represent life because Planned Parenthood put me on the map. Hallelujah. I think that's pretty funny. Now, if God can use them, why can't he use you, right? Come on now. We have a king. Do you understand me? See, a lot of times in Christian life, you know, especially as a pastor, I would get frustrated with people. Can you imagine that? And the reason I would get frustrated is not because I expect people to be strong and not have opinions. I just expect them to understand that most of the decisions you're trying to make have already been made for them. Just go with the decision that's already been made for you, no matter how you feel. Hello? Am I preaching the right people here? See, I didn't say easy. You didn't hear me say easy. But I'll tell you what, it's a lot less complicated than you trying to convince God that your sexuality is different than everybody else's and somehow you're not under the mandate to be sexually pure until marriage. That's a decision that's already been made for you. And if you serve the king, then you got to abide by his edicts. I want you to picture the throne room. I want you to picture the throne room of God. How about this? Just picture the throne room of an earthly king. And I want you to walk into the earthly king and explain to that king why his rules don't apply to you. And I'll visit you in jail. Hello? I mean, if we just get a revelation that someday technically we're standing in front of the king right now. And the reason we lack power and we lack discernment is not because we're weak. It's not because we walk with a limp. It's because we're pretending or we've been deceived into thinking that we're actually making decisions rather than just following the decisions that have already been made for us. Are you hearing me? And when you fall into that, that submission gives you the power to follow the mission. He is a king. Now that's wrong. He is the king. He is the king. Hallelujah. Listen. God is jealous over misplaced faith in human institutions. You know how I use the political system? Just like I use my car. If it'll get me from point A to point B, I'll ride it. Hallelujah. But if it breaks down, I'm going to keep going. My hope is, give me a break. Look at these people. I believe God can use anybody. But my faith is in my king. We have a king. We do not need another king. Do you hear me? And the greater allegiance, here's the dynamic. The greater allegiance we have to the king, the greatest service we can offer to the people. I had a case in Texas that went to the Texas State Supreme Court, and we won. But first, I went to jail. I didn't do anything wrong, preaching on the street in front of an abortion clinic. An evil judge, there are evil judges, decided that I shouldn't be able to tell people what I believed about Jesus and what I believed about women being lied to and their children being stolen from them. So they passed an injunction. They said, you can't do that. Well, judges have authority to do that if there's, quote, imminent and irreparable harm that's going to be done. So they scooped us all up, brought us to jail. They're going to give us a hearing. They put us in our little orange jumpsuits. It looked like a giant orange. That's to humiliate you, you know. And usually when you have an injunction violation, what they do, they just say, you just tell the court you're going to stop doing that, and everything will go away. And they pick me out as the ringleader, even though I didn't even plan the event. I was just preaching that day. I guess I look like a juicy target. And they did have a video of me tearing up the injunction and sprinkling it on the pro-abortion person's head. They did have that video that was slightly incriminating. And they showed it in court. And Judge Eileen O'Neill said, Reverend Tusey, are you here to apologize to the court? I said, actually, Judge O'Neill, and I'm going to tell you, my orange jumpsuit was on, so you couldn't see my knees knocking together. But this is what I mean by not going by feelings and knowing who you represent. I said, actually, Judge O'Neill, I'm here to ask you to repent and apologize, because you're the one that has offended God and misused the legal system. I got 6 months for that statement. But it only lasted a few days. Jay Sekulow, I called Jay. He came down, went to Texas State Supreme Court. They ruled against her 7-0. That's how bad she was. I mean, there was no split decision. Are you with me? And all it takes sometimes is somebody just stand up and say, you know what, I got a king already. You know what happened in that courtroom? There was a young man out of law school, was working for some corporation in business law, and he was sitting there watching these things, and he was just beside himself over the judicial violence that was being done, just breaking every rule of procedure and evidence, and just like, we were guilty because we were Christians of a law that didn't exist. And he ran against Judge O'Neill and won. He took her sign off the door and mailed it to us. Hallelujah. What am I telling you? You have a king. You're not for sale. There are things you need to stop negotiating, stop thinking about. That decision has been made for me. Some trust in chariots and some in gold, but I will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Amen. Yeah, I mean, think about this. Pilate thought he was in charge when he turned Jesus over. That's deception. Amen. Do you think you're in charge of anything? I mean, even the way we talk sometimes, my time, my life, my money, my, you ain't got anything. Hello? It's his. It belongs to him. When you're part of the kingdom, you are his. You are bought and paid for. Jesus didn't buy a little bit of you. Jesus didn't come to want to be part of your life. That's heresy. I made Jesus part of my life. Oh, he don't want part of your life. When I was pastoring at Living Hope, one of my last Sundays there, we had a big mission push. You know, we had a big mission goal, and we were taking an offering, and we were excited about it. By the way, you should always be excited about taking an offering. That's God saying you get to participate. Okay? And I love, like, part of the Bridge City legacy is that we're generous people. We get excited about giving. Amen? We get excited about it. And so this guy says to one of our guys, he said, well, I just came, I think maybe you just want my money. Oh, no, sir. It's way worse than that. We want your whole life. The money's the tip of the iceberg around here. Some of you are looking for the exits. They're blocked. He's king. He could be nothing less than king. We are his royal subjects. Okay, I got one more scripture here I'm going to read to you. Let's go there. I want to put this in context a little bit, because sometimes we read verses, but I just want to just put this in context. Fight the good fight of faith. Why is the faith fight always a good fight? Because you win. You might not win on this side, but you'll win for eternity, because that's how it's measured. They don't measure games 3/4. They don't measure baseball in 8 innings, all right? Fight the good fight. Take hold of what kind of life? The eternal life to which you were called. What is the calling on your life right now for you to think kingdom, for you to think eternal? And for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, I direct you in the presence of God who gives life to all things, and Christ Jesus who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without fault or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means you have the power to keep the commandment. Keep reading with me. Which he will bring about at the proper time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The word sovereign is very interesting. It can be translated different ways. It's really hard to translate. Because basically it means without confinement. There is no circumstances, listen to me, there is no information, there is no circumstance that affects anything God does. I want you to think about this. There is no circumstance or person or opinion or world happening that affects anything God does. He doesn't change his mind because somebody got elected. He doesn't give up on a nation because somebody got elected. He doesn't dismiss the church because some unmoral person found their way into leadership. Do you understand me? Sovereign, without limitations, without confinement of any sense. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. So when he's talking about fighting the good fight, how do you do that? With the mindset that he's King of kings and Lord of lords. And when I'm standing for my own integrity and my own morality and my own calling, I'm not fighting that fight on the basis of anything I am. I'm just bowing my knee to the king and saying, God, I'm with you. I agree with the decision you already made about me. Isn't that amazing? You know, when you walk into a king, the only thing you have to offer yourself or offer him is yourself. That's it. You don't walk into the throne room and say, I got a great idea. It's going to be whatever you say. How high do you want me to jump? Hello? See, again, I'm not saying easy. I'm just saying uncomplicated. But I believe if we get the revelation of who we're serving, that Jesus didn't save us to have a little bit of influence in our life. He bought you and he paid for you. And he wants everything he paid for. Everything you are and everything you're not. Are you with me? That's what a king is. That's the king we serve. That's why martyrs went to their death singing. Because they were counting it worthy to be persecuted and identified like their king. That's why we see people that do great acts of service in the name of Jesus. They're just falling in line with the decision that God has dictated over their life. He's king. He's king. He's Lord. Lord. We've made that very religious, but Lord is military. You understand that? Lord. He's Lord. Stand up. He's Lord. You know what I was taught as a young believer? He's not Lord of everything. He's not Lord of all. Pastor Keith, are you saying God's not satisfied with me? If I'm not yielding all my life, that's what I'm telling you. I didn't say he didn't love you. I just said he's not satisfied. He just wants what he paid for. This isn't complicated. He's king. That's how he revealed himself. He revealed himself as a king. And he's still king. He's not going to be anything less than king, ever. And maybe you're here today and there's some tension in your life. There's some lack of joy in your life, even though you love Jesus. It may be because you're negotiating with God over a decision he's already made. You need to bow. Say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, right. Right. I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to fight the good fight. And I'm going to be empowered by the revelation that I'm just taking a raindrop or two. And then eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands up. Just present yourself fresh. Just say, Lord, here I am. Everything I am and everything I'm not. Don't make any excuses for it, but don't hide it. Hallelujah. Everything I am and everything I'm not. All my little blemishes and bumps and limps. Lord, here I am. Everything I am, it's all yours. I want it all to serve you. It's not an excuse for me not to serve you. It's a reason for those things to come under subjection in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just speak to that thing in Jesus' name. Fear, insecurity, moral deficit, known sin, integrity violations, lack of seeking God. Just say, Lord, I need your strength. See, I'm not talking about doing this in your own power. I'm talking about having a revelation of who the king was. I told you when I spoke to Judge Anuno, my knees literally, I felt like they were going to bounce off each other. But I had a glimpse of something else. Are you with me? That wasn't the power of determination. That was the power of revelation. 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 He is king. Is he king of your life today? Is he king? Is there something you're holding in your hand from this life in this world that is offensive to God that needs to be dropped this morning, just needs to be let go? Let it hit the ground and break and quit trying to patch up Ishmael's life. Things created in the flesh. And trust God. Trust God. He's worthy to be trusted. He's worthy to be trusted. He's worthy to be trusted. He is jealous of false gods. Anything else you're trusting. Trusting your own wisdom, trusting your own opinion. Those are idols. Now, while we're just in this moment right here, if you're in this room today and Jesus is not Lord of your life, you've not been born again, you've not surrendered yourself, you've not acknowledged that you need to be saved, which means you're a sinner like everybody else. When you get born again, what happens is you change lords. Spiritually, that's what happens. You change lords. You change lords from you and the devil, whether you know that's what's influencing you or not, to the lordship of Jesus. You change lords. He takes you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. That's what the Bible says. So if you've never been born again and today's your day, you're not here by accident, I want you to wave your hand at me and say, Pastor Keith, I want to give my whole life to my King today in Jesus' name. Anybody like that? Hey, let me ask this question. Let's just pretend that you and I are having a cup of coffee and we had this rather intense conversation, okay? Just me and you. Is he Lord? Of course he is. Is there an area right now in your life that while the anointing is here in this atmosphere, that you're ready to load your water gun? Say, you know what? I'm tired of that thing that's not Lord, lording it over me. If that's you, just lift your hand up to the Lord, just in faith. Just lift up and say, God, here it is in Jesus' name. Everything I am, I can't tell you how often I pray this prayer, God. Everything I am, everything I'm not. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Pastor John, why don't you have the prayer team get ready? We're going to pray today. You know, this is a Pharisee-free zone in here, okay? You know what's a Pharisee-free zone? When people know about you and they love you anyway. Hallelujah. That's a Pharisee-free zone. So these people want to encourage you. They want to lift up your hands. So if there's something you want to drop today, if there's something you know God wants you to drop today, it's just time to be all in. And you know, as believers, sometimes we just get distracted. For most of us, the enemy cannot do a frontal assault. He just gets you off course a little bit, and you end up just not really flowing the way God wants you to flow. Let's just believe God as we head into this wonderful, incredible holiday season. We're going to be around so many people and have opportunities to share with people. Let's just make sure our heart is so free that we look at every situation as a kingdom opportunity. Amen. Let's just start today. If that's you and there's something you want somebody to help you just dump, the prayer team's up here. I want you to slide out of your seats where you're at right now. Just come on up and let's just present ourselves to the Lord fresh. Jesus. King of kings and Lord of lords. Thank you. Thank you. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, just pray in the Spirit with you. Just stir up your spirit. Stir up your spirit. Stir up your spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. If you should be up here, just please, just do that. Just, you know, one of the things you do with a king, you're just very humble. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Pastor John, I think it'd be, I don't know if this is possible, but if we could get the worship team up before we dismiss today, as we go out when we're done praying and just do that song we did in worship today. Hallelujah. I think we need to go out shouting today, declaring, you're my king, you're my Lord, you're my king, you're my Lord. You are king, you are Lord of my life. Say it with me, you are king, you are Lord of my life. Hallelujah, you are the king. What does the king say? What does the Lord say? Hallelujah. He is king. He is king. He is king. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God. You are King. You are Lord. Spirit of the living God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, God, we belong to you. I belong to you, Lord. I belong to you. I belong to you. I've been washed in your blood. I've been purchased with the price of heaven. I belong to you. Everything I am and everything I'm not, God, I belong to you. Hear it always today, Jesus. Just fresh and renewed, Lord. Oh, Lord. Go frasabo kusitia satatabasa. Gandarabasa tatabasata. Pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe there are people in this room that God is just calling you to a higher degree of engagement with ministry, of serving, just a higher degree. And that usually means laying down something that's just not as valuable. Presenting yourself, here am I. How can I serve? How can I help? That's how you get free from self. Hallelujah. Let God dictate that. When there's an opportunity to serve, don't look at your daytime or look to heaven. Say, God, is that what you want me to do? Is that what you want me to do? Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. You are King. You are King. You are King. You are a majesty on high, God. Hallelujah.